Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to another edition of Life Behind Bars. I'm Noah Rothbaum, the Daily Beast half full editor. Joining me, as always, is my colleague and co-host, David Wondrich. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I am well. We have a great episode today with Ivy Mix and Lynette Marrero, the founders of Speed Rack, the competition that tests female bartenders on speed and accuracy of making drinks. Is one of my favorite events that we get to go to.
It's an amazing display of competence under pressure, let's say.
For sure.
I mean, these are truly superior people who end up on top at Speed Rack. Some of the best bartenders in the world have come through Speed Rack. So this should be fun.
And what's even more amazing is that it all raises money for breast cancer research. We've already raised more than $1 million. So it's not only fun, but it's also for a great cause. So without further ado, we'll get Ivy and Lynette on the line. Welcome, Ivy and Lynette. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, guys.
Hi. We're happy to be here.
It's nice to be reconnected.
Absolutely.
Well, Speed Rack, it's funny. Dave and I have both judged different rounds. I think Dave has judged the finale several times over the years, but I think it was exactly 10 years ago when I first heard about it. We were at a birthday party for Dave at the Brooklyn Brewery, and Lynette came over. I won't say what birthday it was. And Lynette came over to me and said, "Hey, like, you know, how are you doing?" I'm like, "Good." And I'm like, "What's up with you?" And she's like, "I'm working on this new thing." And I was like, "Okay, like, what is it?" It's like, it's a bartending competition for female bartenders that will benefit breast cancer research, and it's called Speed Rack. And I was like, I love this idea. And then you disappeared and, you know, into the crowd. And
there was a punch luge.
Yeah,
there was a punch luge.
Which I was working. I was bartending your birthday.
Exactly. So I know.
Maybe it was too much punch, but then I was like, okay, that, like, you know, the next day I was like, was she serious? Like, was she not serious? Like, it's a cool idea. Like, I hope it works out. And then, like, I didn't really think about it for like several months. And then obviously
was born.
You were serious about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Very serious about it, it turns out.
Yeah.
And you're serious at this point that we've
serious. That is a lot of really, really fast bartenders.
It is.
It is.
You know,
10 years worth of the fastest bartenders on earth. That's amazing.
Well, it's also incredible. On our 10th anniversary, we replayed the very first video, the very first event. And it was so awesome to see people respond to it again in the same way that we responded to it when we first did it. And it kind of like had its own little like viral moment of people going back and seeing it again for the first time. And, you know, it was so incredible because, you know, so many of those women who volunteer to be tortured in that first event are like industry mm-hmm. leaders and doing this, and they trusted us to hop on that stage and you know, do this crazy feat of bartending. But, you know, it holds up for the amount of talent that we have and that we're really fortunate to have in our industry, and how hardworking you know, these individuals are, and how incredibly like exciting it is to watch good bartending.
Maybe you could walk our listeners, some of them who have not had the joy of sitting there and watching a Speed Rack unfold, which I always say is kind of like a cross between the TV show Oz and, like, you know, Cocktail the movie, you know what I mean? It's but that's the best that I can go. But maybe like walk through like the way that it works and the different rounds and stuff.
Yeah, sure. So basically how it works is we have an application process. So online, we have an application that questions range from, you know, who inspires you to what's your favorite cocktail to has breast cancer affected you in your life in any way. And then we, from those applications, those written applications, we select people to come to the actual in-person event. Back in the day, we were like, we're going to select 16. And now we select sometimes 30 because we get sometimes over 100 people applying.
Wow.
Which is insane. I want to like look back and tell everyone who told us that there weren't enough female bartenders to do this competition back then. So then once those women come, we send them an email and we say, okay, we have to do a preliminary round. And we're in the Olympics right now. So prelims are like the seeding process, right? So you can't play these games to get your rank. So we do the preliminary round. It's a round of four drinks, like all speed rec rounds, but we actually give the competitors six drinks, and we say four of these will be selected at random, which we've pre-selected. And then when they show up, we give them their drinks. They have 3 minutes to set up and they compete, just against themselves. Basically, we take the eight fastest after penalties and we put them into the onstage competition. And penalties range from like unbalanced, you know, too strong, not full, you're messy, et cetera, et cetera. The prelims is meant to kind of be like you're fast and furious, but still good bartending, you know, and on stage, you're supposed to be a little bit more refined. Doesn't always work out that way, but that's the goal. And then on stage, we use that prelim system to pair people together. So it's first against eighth, second against seventh, and so on in a round robin kind of brackets format. And then we have the quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals. And what happens is we have an esteemed panel of judges, like you have both been, four of them, and our four judges select four different classic cocktails. Speed Rack is a classic cocktail competition. Especially 10 years ago, we really found it was important that with all these up-and-coming bartenders, you'd get people who knew how to make their, like, you know, strawberry, raspberry, mojito, margarita, but they didn't know how to make, like, Remember the Maine or something. And we all found it was really important that you needed to know your classics in order to go on and do those specialty cocktails. So we have our four judges select their drinks at random, and the two competitors are on stage now going head-to-head making the drinks. So it's about speed, it's about accuracy, and it's about taking a recipe and making it the best you can. So like if someone's making a Negroni, like I don't make my Negroni equal parts. I make my Negroni with more gin because it's better. And I'm a bartender and I like more booze in my drinks. But then the judges get to taste these drinks side by side and compare them. So they might be like, oh, like Lynette, you know, great job. It's very, very cold. But compared next to Ivy, I really like that she put more gin in. You can taste it, but Ivy's wasn't quite cold enough. She went too quick. And you give time penalties. After the time penalties and the time, the fastest cumulative time goes on to the next round until we have a winner.
And then the regional winners go to like a grand champion.
Yeah.
I was foolish. No, I'll say it. Stupid enough to once challenge Lynette to a round of speed rap for a Facebook live show I used to do for Half Full or Daily Beast. I knew in the back of my mind, like I had no shot at like beating Lynette, right? I mean, Lynette is one of the best bartenders in the country. I am not. Like, but still, I was like, I'm not going to make a fool of myself. Like, I should be able to like do this. But really, it is so hard to do it. I think Lynette finished so far ahead of me that you then spent the like other minute critiquing like my technique, like which was totally valid. Like that drink's not cold enough. You over diluted. And it's just like it was so humbling of an experience. And of course, everybody could see it. But I mean, it really shows just how talented the people are who compete in speed rack and just how hard the competition really is, because it's not just speed. It is also accuracy and making all of those drinks at one time. I mean, even the best bartenders aren't used to like shaking with one hand and stirring with the other and doing, you know, we're making four drinks at one. I mean, it's like,
let alone my head. Yeah. 100 people look at you.
Of course.
Yelling, screaming and having a, Dale DeGroff and Julie Reiner sitting there to judge you.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Or worse, Audrey Saunders.
Yeah, right. I'm kidding.
Who is the hanging judge?
Yeah.
And the final round also, like the final drink of the final round, the judges get to pick something that's that the competitors have not prepared for, right? I mean, like just
they get totally... to do dealer's choice, which is a way of giving them that, you know, and that became, you know, obviously the whole competition evolved, like, you know, even the way we do prelims now with giving them the six cocktails, we used to give them just what the four drinks were. And they just learned those four drinks in succession. So we were seeing crazy times, but teaching them having the six drinks made them think process more. So when their training has evolved in a way that also has just really helped them do it in their bar. You don't know which drinks are being called on your list when you get service tickets in. So it gave more of that realistic mindset for them to play around with combinations. And then, like Ivy said, it is so important. You know, we ended up pulling out some random classics that people now are making again, but we were fortunate enough to have, you know, to have access to Dave and Dale and Audrey and Julie in our market, because we're both, you know, got our footing here in New York, and the classics kind of, you're expected to know them. And that became a part of what can we give to all these women who are going to be, who want to be craft bartenders and get these jobs in craft cocktail bars, what can we give them? It's a foundation, an opportunity for live mentorship with these judges and just also challenging themselves. And we really just saw how much smarter everyone, like they would figure out ways to set up their well that I would never have thought of.
Over the years that I've judged, I've seen a lot of evolution in, you know, just in judging the final. At first, it was kind of like everybody was skidding around the corner, you know, and coming to a flying stop at the end. But you really got to see more and more people just doing it, like seemingly without breaking a sweat. Shannon Poncha is just unbelievably cool under pressure, you know. And some people like that, you're like, how can you do that? That's just superhuman,
you know? Yeah, Shannon's like one of those people that I always mention. I'm like, if I ever did speed rec, I'd just be like, I just am such a sore loser that I don't think I'd be able, like, I would just go in, win, and exit if I could. And if I didn't, I would just never do it again. Shannon's one of the best bartenders in the whole wide world. She's just phenomenal.
Oh, unbelievable. And you know, but there's so many that have come through Speed Rack and that you see competing, and, you know, with different styles of bartending, et cetera. Also, you know, you got to bear in mind for our audience how many drinks they're supposed to learn for this. Right. I mean, what's that list is not a short one.
God, how many are we up at now, Lynette? I think we're like at 62, 60 something.
Yeah, approximately. I mean, it's a longer list, and you know, we just don't know what the judges are going to call. So, you know, they're learning. I've seen the amount of like note cards that people have, how they work on remembering them, and you know, and that's part of what it is. Though we're like, if these bartenders were going to have an opportunity to study, you know, it's like you're choosing to go into cocktail school and learn how you want to make these drinks and make them the best way they are. And that's just, I think, it was just giving us an opportunity to encourage, you know, the women who we wanted to support and how we want to open up the spaces and craft cocktail bartending. It was like, well, come to the table with a skill, come to the table with, in your arsenal, and you've been through this thing. So you've been on stage, you have all these drinks, you know, you're fast, and you're going to have this incredible resume when you walk in to a bar for a job.
I would argue that like, this is also like that list of drinks has brought classic cocktails to a lot of markets around the country, right? Because like each regional market draws people, mm-hmm. or each regional competition draws people from surrounding markets. So, you know, a lot of the more obscure classics that they're required to know, they may never have actually made before, even heard of. And here you are. And like, they're suddenly, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of the drinks that they're then putting on menus are ones that they had, you know, learned to make from Speed Rack or put their own spins on. And I mean, in some ways you have to keep adding more drinks because as more and more people become Speed Rack contestants, it's like they become more and more popular and sort of familiar. So like digging into the archives, you have to go further and further back, which is kind of a wonderful thing to see.
Also having that depth of drinks that they have to learn means you can't really game the competition like you can with other competitions, you know, because once you're up to 60 drinks, gaming it means learning 60 tricks and that's enough to be a bartender, you know? I mean, like a really good bartender, because the drinks cover like, what is it? 8 different categories of spirits, yeah. Something like that. 6 or 8 categories. And yeah. They really go across the board. Long drinks, short drinks, mm-hmm. like famous classics, like sort of cult handshake drinks. And, yeah. And that's the only way, if the only way you can like get on top of that. I mean, really, you just got to learn the damn drinks.
And there's no accounting for it. I mean, you could know every drink cold, and then like, you know, invariably what happens is that somebody's, you know, shaker explodes or they slip or a speed pour pops. I mean, like the craziest like things happen under such extreme pressure, which is why it's so fun to watch. And sometimes so heartbreaking when, you know, somebody's like basically done and then like something happens and they knock over all of their glasses right as they're finished. And then sometimes people are able to like finish again. Like there's some people are even so quick that they're able to redo all the drinks after like a total
and
meltdown.
Still win.
Yeah. And still win. I mean, and still win. I mean, it's nuts. I mean, that's why it's like such a fun show to see and why people are always so excited to go to the different speed racks, the regional and the finals. So, or online, but yeah, I mean, that's, and as a judge, you're just, it's almost too much, like you're sort of watching between your fingers. I mean, you have to keep notes, but you know, and then some schmuck like me orders like a Ramos gin fizz at the end and everybody wants to everybody wants to quit, but it's amazing what it's turned.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Into it. For all that stress and all of the, you know, it's all for a good cause too, which, you know, which is probably the most amazing thing is that you've raised now what it's $1.25 million for cancer research. Is, I mean, incredible.
That's impressive.
I mean, it really is.
But that's the generosity of our community. And that's why it was so hard not to do events for a year, because, you know, everyone who comes out, everyone who buys a ticket, buys a t-shirt, buys a raffle ticket, a bandana, all those people in our community is extremely generous and would stepped up to do it. So, you know, we missed that part because it is two prong. Like there is a, you know, our community is so generous, and what we have to give is the talent, you know. So they're making drinks effectively the whole time to give back to charity. And so, and then everyone who just came in and always supported was just made SpeedRack what it is. Cause like, that's the thing, things like SpeedRack don't last 10 years. If they're not truly a community effort, and if it's not a part of the community, then you're not going to exist and you're not going to move forward and have this kind of longevity. We're like, we'll keep doing SpeedRack until like, they don't want it anymore, but they keep wanting it. And so it keeps happening.
Well, we got to talk about, what a party it is for the spectators also, you know. It's always just this, it's always a blast. You know, there are the sponsors with great drinks being made. There's the whole community is out, the cheering sections are there. And it really just ends up being very exciting.
Well, it's like I don't know, the dynamic is just crazy. Like we always, you know, one thing we always equated to was like a roller derby event, right? It's a bit of rock and roll, it's athletic, it's fun, it's irreverent, yeah, it's powerful. And then in the room, you know, like you said, it's like bartender Christmas. Everyone gets to see each other, and there's just, you know, it's a good vibe in that room. We were just going through like our, you know, like our Flickr with all of our pictures, and every time I see a crowd shot, I see everyone's face. How excited they are to watch this happen, and then, you know, share a good drink and be with your community. And, you know, we were able to have a little bit of that moment last week when we did our Mid-Atlantic DC event. And it may have been smaller, but the same feeling of community and all of us being together was in that room. And that was what was electric.
That was the first event.
That's our first event. Yeah, we actually, we did our New Orleans, our Southeast Regional on March 16th, 2020.
Wow.
Yeah. So Ivy and I boarded planes back. Oh, it was it.
That was it. And then we didn't see each other for a year. One whole year.
Wow.
Like I was we'd FaceTime and do this. When we finally saw each other, it was like, it was so oh my God, my wife.
Yeah. We watched during that event. That event was like the complete moment of the whole thing. It actually was the pandemic in a nutshell. It was just, here we go. We have an event. We're, in stages over the course of 5 days, altering the event, which at the last minute, because they were closing New Orleans at about 6 p.m. that day, was to move it out of our venue to an amazing bar by one of the local people in NOLA. Really small there. Our friend, luckily Toby Maloney, our friend was like on holiday there. We're like, hey, can you judge today? And we just like gathered this crew and did like the most all we need. We're like, all right, let's get our tools off the truck. And all we need is all the product to run the event. And we did it. But it was insane. And that night, we got to all sit together, and it was a group of women from Texas and all around. And that night for dinner, one of the brand reps brought everyone out, and we, just sat there and just all talked about what were we going to be doing for the next few months and goals we had, what we just could all see, during that time, mm-hmm. competitors were getting information that their bars were going to be closing when they got back. It was just all so surreal.
It was really like everything was happening all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And nobody knew what to do.
Nope. don't come to find out.
Yeah. And the DC round that you just had, that's sort of the continuation of the previous season, right?
Yes.
And I guess the finals will be.
Well, it was important to finish season 9 because we had up to that point, we had 14 competitors. So we do 8 cities. Okay. Each city has a winner and then a wild card from that region. In New Orleans, and we did the same for DC, we actually do wild card voting, and we went with the runner up. So the last two in the finals are both going to the nationals. We just felt that with the insanity of the way things are, that was a more fair process. But we had we engaged the other 14 kind of as we were coming out of the woodwork saying, hey, it's going to happen. And we just want to let you know. And the amount of like excited yet terrified, excited messages we got back, they're like, oh my God, I know what to do. I'm going to go run around really quickly. Oh, that's horrifyingly close, but I'm really excited for it. So, it was important to follow through and finish because, they all worked so hard to get there. So one more event we are planning, we're going to be announcing it soon because our finals are going to happen in September. Our location is just probably going to be moving because of the world. So we're going to make sure that we're doing whatever is safe mm-hmm. with protocol where we can safely have the 16 women congregate and complete the event. And we'll, follow whatever local ordinances we need to, how small we have to keep it, contact tracing,
testing,
all the things that, have become part of our day-to-day. And just kind of figure out those details so we can complete the national finals.
Awesome.
2021, making it interesting.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait for a boring year, eh? Like, come on.
I don't think will ever be a boring year with Speed Rack. No. Yeah.
That's true.
It's not a boring event.
A few years ago, I think it was in Phoenix, judging the regional round there. And I remember talking to some of the other judges, and I was like, oh, they should do like an all-star edition. And they were like, shut up. Do not suggest that. I do not want to do this. Like, I will not, like, do not drag me into this. Like, I am happy to judge, but I will not. I don't want to compete. Like, that is wow, like, no thank you. Yeah. And it was just, yeah, it was like the most scary idea that they could be drawn into.
Especially people who were like 10 years ago, they're like, oh, yeah, Christ, no, yeah, it's changed a lot.
Which I was like, of course we should totally do a celebrity edition.
Except guess what? If we did it, they're all masochists. They would come.
Oh, they would totally do it. They would totally. Yeah. And it, well, and the other thing is, like, I mean, it's a lot of fun for the spectators and the judges, but the competitors take it very seriously. I mean, it is like,
people
come and they are not playing around. I mean, they are there to win, and which makes it so good. I mean, if they didn't take it seriously, it wouldn't be good. But so you can only imagine the level that the All-Stars would bring to it.
So much at stake. I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, we'd love to have a global showdown, because we have expanded. We've done Canada for 4 years. We've done the UK 3. We were going to go back last year. We've done 2 in Asia, in 2 different countries in Asia, but had it as a Asia group. We've done Australia 2 years. And then this year, for the very first time, we remotely did Russia and St. Petersburg.
Okay.
It was great. Like, we got to watch their audition videos to pick the top. And then they just did it at their St. Petersburg cocktail week. The organizers were actually one of the women who wanted to bring it there. She's a part of our mentorship program, which we launched this year. And with another bartender who runs a big mixology group there. And they just were calling and asking us, and we're like, all right, yeah, okay, we'll just keep an eye on the scoring from behind, because we have like a document that we can kind of see everything being input to make sure it's all going well. I was just like texting, be like, hey, just double check that time. Did you put the penalty in? And it was a blast, and they did it. And that was fine. Yeah, it was the video.
he was like, yeah, so I want to do this on July 8th. And I'm like, 2022. He's like, no, 2021. And I was like, he's like, it might sound crazy for you, but in Russia, this is normal. And we were like, okay.
Well, but it was a hard thing to let your baby out into the world, you know, without being here. Yeah. Normally we're there to help make sure like how it rolls. And they definitely did some things a little bit differently, but like, it was okay. It all worked out.
As long as it doesn't dilute the difficulty, and as long as you can't game it, then that's fine.
Pretty much. It was more like they tortured these poor women. They didn't find out if they were moving on to the next round until they did all quarterfinals, then they announced. Because timings.
Real reality TV
That's brutal. But you know, that was just kind of the miscommunication, how we tabulate the things. And but, you know, we hope to get there in the future and help shepherd them in. But, you know, you can't replace that energy, and that community is really looking for ways to support their femme identifying, you know, community. And they felt that a SpeedRec event was going to be the right move for them. And it's really great to see that, you know, the initiatives we set up in the original, you know, ideas of it, of, you know, creating more intersectionality and bringing more diverse individuals into craft bartending, that, you know, the mechanics of what SpeedRec is can still be shared and can still have a positive impact all the way into Russia.
But SpeedRec has had so much impact on so many things. I mean, even, you know, for me, it's spoiled me as a judge for other cocktail competitions. Because it's like, yes, you can do that way faster, and you can do it accurately, you know, and it's sort of like moved the bar up in competition in general, just because of the fact that it's speed and accuracy is very important, and that's rare, and it's not style or creativity or storytelling, which are highly subjective, and I have, like, personally found no way to judge accurately in cocktail competitions. It's like, well, how am I supposed to judge style? You know, everybody's got their own, and they're different. But this is, but I love that the objectivity is of SpeedRec is so important. And it means that if you're a SpeedRack winner, everybody knows what that entails. You know, it's not like you talked a good game and the judges looked the other way or something, you know, it's like, or you came up with one cool drink. It's like you are able to work under pressure fast, accurately, and with a little bit of style. I think that's unique to SpeedRack.
Lynette, you had mentioned the mentorship program. I know it's the inaugural year. Could you talk a little bit about, you know, what that is and how it's been going?
Sure. So, you know, when without having events, we really just wanted to think of what other programs and initiatives we could do for our SpeedRack community, because it's a really big community. And, you know, if we were sitting here trying to figure out every day what we're doing, how, you know, with our businesses and our careers and all of that, we figured everyone's having some sort of discovery trying to figure out things out. So we organized a mentorship program, went pretty big with it, 80 mentors.
Oh my God.
Yeah. it ended up being global. It's insane. And, you know, we matched up with the help of some of our awesome, you know, SpeedRack alum, helped us match up mentors and mentees. So everyone, people in the industry from, you know, like Dana Cowan, formerly of Food and Wine and currently speaking broadly, got on board, to wine directors, obviously bartenders, social media, people who are really good at social media, people who make spirits, all this PR. So we put together a really broad group of mentors and asked them to, you know, do this program and spend about 5 hours a month with their mentee and helping them build and think about their futures. We prioritized BIPOC bartenders as well in the program. So we were looking for ways to really, again, try to give back and find ways to make sure that we're helping to contribute to, you know, a true intersectional feminism in the industry, and trying to make sure that we could offer more opportunities. And I think the group that we ended up with are awesome. I've seen some of the mentees, you know, showing up. Some of them applied for Tails and got their first seminars. And there's some really cool things.
Oh, great.
You know, the relationships. One of the relationships. The woman was in Berlin, and she had or has Tess Postumus as her mentor, and she's now moved to the Netherlands and is working Tess's bar.
Oh.
And so,
oh wow,
that worked out.
Awesome. Yeah, exactly.
And it's just been really great to see that sort of, you know, camaraderie. And then the rest of the programming outside of their one-on-one mentorship, we've been working with Laura Green with Healthy Poor, who's been doing seminars that kind of touch a lot of different topics within the industry, mostly focused on a bit on, you know, personal development and growth from all different ways of like emotional intelligence and all of these other conflict resolution and things that we feel we don't get enough training and conversation in, and that, you know, offering that opportunity to engage in those things, you know, will help everyone hopefully have a different experience getting into, you know, as they grow and move up into different positions, having just a bit more training under their belt and their toolkit to deal with maybe any different things that arise. And so it's been a very fulfilling. We've been sitting down in the sessions. They're great. So.
And we're super excited. We're also launching it in Spanish. So we're launching, kind of joining forces with our SpeedRack Mexico team, Izzy and Lisa, and also with a group called Mapa de Barmaids, who kind of have like a Latin American group, almost like what LUPEC was in the States. And we're really excited to launch that. We just closed applications yesterday, and now we're going to do those mentorship partnerships. And, you know, SpeedRack has always kind of been about helping, like women helping women, supporting the women within this industry, kind of lifting each other up, creating a helping hand. And this is just a more obvious, more tangible version of what SpeedRack is. And it's a little bit more like very concrete. Here's someone who's super successful. Here's someone who's trying to be. Let us, a rising tide raises all boats. And here we are.
If people, obviously, if they want to compete or help with events, they can reach out, I guess, through SpeedRack. Were there other things that they can be involved in, like to help the organization?
You can donate to our charities if you go onto our website, www.speed-rack.com, and you click on beneficiaries. We'll move a donate button, but one of our charities set up a page that you can donate to. And actually, one of our favorite researchers, we actually followed him from Avon to the Pink Agenda, who is on that site. And they do really incredible work. Their research is really incredible. And so we have been supporting them. So that's just one way to give back, is to, you know, support any of those charities that are listed on that page are amazing. We will have details of when our nationals should be. There will be an opportunity to live stream it. And hopefully also when we do that live stream, there'll be opportunities for people to get involved to, you know, donate and buy a ticket to watch, or, you know, buy some swag to donate to our charities. But we're going to have it properly filmed and streamed. So that's just kind of be, you know, give those competitors their big finale for the world to see. But it's crazy, right, to have to adjust to that. And so it's new for us, but, you know, if pivot was the word of 2020 and 2021, we're doing the whole ballet.
You're even pirouetting. That's a pivot with style.
Thank you so much for coming on and sharing a bit about Speed Rack. Looking forward to seeing the finals and all the future editions, both in America and all around the world. So exciting.
Thanks, Noah.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. We miss you guys.
Cheers. Dave and I encourage you to drink responsibly always.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.